missed a few. Hallelujah. We got a big ding in a U-Haul from when Natasha had to turn hers in because they hit one. And just, 3 weeks ago, Brittany got hit by one also in a ministry car. So we need to tell the enemy no rabies and no wild suicidal deer either. Praise the Lord. Stay out of the path of God's people. Praise God. Either that or we need to start getting some hunters out there to get more tags. Give them double tags. Praise the Lord. Triple tags. Hallelujah. So they're not running through the streets. Years ago in a town north of us, they had so many deer that they were running through, and they went into the barber shop and other places because they saw the reflection in the mirror and they jumped right through. And so immediately the municipality got a hold of the county and everything, and they doubled all the tags, and the hunters went out with their guns and alleviated a few of the excess and made some good deer jerky out of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are just thankful that everyone has come in safe, and we're going to get into the Word of God upon tonight. Praise the Lord. Altar connection. There is an importance to your connection at the altar. How many knows anywhere that you worship and you do so without interruption, you are making an altar? Now, in the New Testament, the Lord calls it the prayer closet. Go into the closet and be alone, and make it an altar unto the Lord, and the Lord will show up. If you'll be alone till you're alone no longer and worship the Lord, he that sees in secret will reward you openly for what you've done in secret. Well, tonight we're going to take a look at the furtherance of the altar. And we're not talking about an actual physical altar, although these altars here represent the place where people repent and where the people put themselves upon the altar. We're not talking about actually, as some religions do, they have their candles of incense and they have their altars in their home and so on and so forth. We don't have to do that. The Old Testament part, we don't have to get out a sheep and we don't have to get out a goat and we don't have to do animal sacrifice because the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. And therefore, all we have to do is go in relationship. And those places of relationship become the altar. Wherever that we pray for something to transpire in our life, some people are at the altar of worry and we don't want to be at the altar of worry. We don't want to be at the altar of regret. We want to be at the altar of the Lord. And you can become unstoppable when you understand that the altar of worship and sacrifice is one of consecration. And that takes more, that means putting the world and say, hey, wait a minute, I've got a time where I'm going to spend with the Lord and I'm going to consecrate myself and then my time unto the Lord. Now, that means I'm going to put myself in that relationship, and I'm going to make a connection, and I'm going to make a commitment, and because there's a covenant. How many knows we're thankful for the covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us that has connected us to the Father? And so we have a commitment to the altar of God. Every time that we praise and worship, there's a difference between reading the words up here and singing them from the depths of your spirit. And how many recognize that as we are worshipers? No matter what you go through, no matter what you're having to face in life, you can change things to being ordinary. We must not let church be ordinary. We must not let becoming into the presence of God be something that we do, but be something that we share with him, something that we engage our love mechanism of our heart with him. And when we do so, we are beginning to engage the power of the altar. And did you know that the Lord, he so much believes in the power of the altar that he's got one up in heaven. So let's take a look at Revelation 9 and 13. This has to do with the sixth trumpet, which is one short of the last trumpet. It says it brings the second terror, but look at it. It says, then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from there is an horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. That there is an altar in the presence of God. Did you know that when he gave this understanding to Moses of how to build the tabernacle, he was literally giving some of the blueprints of what's in heaven. He said, I want what's in heaven to be matched in the earth. And so Moses had to have a gold altar here because there's a gold altar there. And so this began to be an understanding that the Lord is saying, you are moving into my world. You're moving into my land. You're coming into my presence. That it's not something that man is trying to get to God, but something God is trying to get down to us. Hallelujah. And so here it clearly states in Revelation, as John the Revelator is seeing this, that there is a gold altar that stands in the presence of God in the supernatural place of God in the throne room. Now the spiritual altar here connects heaven's altar in God's throne room to us through Christ Jesus. So we understand, because how many knows that he is the ultimate Ark of the Covenant? He is the embodiment of the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Promise. He is the mercy seat where we come and give our heart and life to the Lord. So I'm going to ask a little question tonight. What things from our altar have direct influence in heaven? Since God has an altar in heaven that opens up and he wants a match down here, so he's wanting certain things here to stir the heavens. I'm going to go somewhere tonight, and I want you to run with me. There are things here that we're not doing out of religion, because religion can't make it to heaven. We're doing out of relationship of what God has said, but there's things that come up before God that actually are brought into his presence. I want you to know that when you pray and when you worship and when you do so, it does not stay in this room. That when we come in this house, it does not stay in these walls. It doesn't stay in these tiles. It doesn't stay in the dome of it. We go in and we feel the presence of God come into the room. But do you recognize that you're also going into heavenly places with Christ Jesus? See, when we recognize that we're dual, we're both here and there at the same time, and he is both there and here at the same time, we can then begin to grasp and understand the portal that has been opened and the shaft that heaven and earth have kissed. And when heaven and earth kiss, some stuff gets created. Some stuff happens, because God cannot leave anything the same way that he finds it. Anytime you bring God into the room in the presence, something happens. As I was praying before having to run to do some errands and stuff on yesterday. It was just amazing. I had my prayer time, and I was laid out on the I Love You Jesus commitments, and I was calling out to God, and I was playing some intercessory prayer music that is one of the ones that I like to engage to from time to time. And when I got up to go run my errands, I was still buzzing and humming in the presence of the Lord. And I was like, wow, he's in the van with me. He's going to the store with me. I didn't have to shift into the flesh right away. And I could literally feel the difference, because I was sensitive to him. Sometimes I think we get desensitized to him. That's why we don't sense him. Because he's there. He says, I'm everywhere, and I'm with you wherever you go, and I'll never leave you. So our feeling that he's not there is not a proper feeling at all. It's a lack of engagement on our part. When we engage, because we're children of God, boom, that connection opens wide up. So it would be, if I was a strategic planner, all I'd have to do is get your focus off of your engagement with God and put your mind on something else and focus somewhere else. That's how I win, as your enemy, is keep your focus off. Because if you ever get in the presence of God, he'll give you every answer that you need, because you're his kids and he's the one with all the answers. He said, if you come before me and ask for wisdom, I'll give it to you liberally. What does wisdom do? Wealth and riches follow wisdom. Honor and favor come following wisdom. You get wisdom, you get the principal thing. How many would like to have the answer to every trouble you're going to have tomorrow today? How would you feel today if you already had the answers to the problems tomorrow? That yesterday you already had the answers to today. The only way you would have trouble is if you didn't engage the answers that were given to you. We have access to every answer in the Lord. If we seek him, we will find him. So what things from the altar have direct impact? Now, I'm going to go all the way out onto the very end of the thing, and I'm going to work back, because this next one is going to be something that we have not done yet. Okay, turn to somebody and say, we haven't done it yet. Ask me why. because you're still breathing air. All right, this one is invoked by martyrs. Those that have been persecuted and have lost their life because of the word of God and have been faithful to their testimony, it says here in 6 and 9 of Revelation, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. Under the altar was not air. Under the altar was not some candle. Under the altar were souls. Under the altar, that golden altar in heaven, are all the souls of those who were beheaded, run through with a sword, dragged, cut asunder, dragged by animals, cut asunder. All the ones who were crucified upside down, drowned, boiled in oil. All the things, the horrible things the enemy did to try to stop salvation, and yet turn to somebody and say, and here we are. Martyred Stephen, we keep on going. Martyred James, we keep on going. Martyr all of the known apostles but John, because they couldn't kill him because God wanted him to write the book of Revelation. We find that here underneath the altar is the voices of the souls crying out unto the Lord. That they are crying, how long, O Lord, until you avenge the blood of those that have been killed for behalf of Jesus. How many of those are something powerful at the altar? Let's take a look at Revelation 3, 4, and 5. It said, then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. It stood where? At the altar. And a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with what? With what? Prayers. So should we be praying? Yes. Right. Where does our prayers go? To the altar in the presence of God. They are a living, supernatural thing that goes to the altar of God. And there at the altar of God, the same altar that the martyrs are crying out, the same altar that is in his presence, he said, now an angel comes, gold incense burner is given, and he takes up some incense, which is that of the holiness and worship of God, and mixes them with the prayers of God's people. If there is no prayers, there's no mixing of this. But because there's prayers of God's people coming up before him, they mix it together as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. And the smoke of that incense that is mixed with the prayers of God's people, his holy people, ascends up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Somebody say prayers and intercession. Prayers and intercession go up before God. God is going to use prayers, the amount of prayers, the intensity of prayers, the amount that we prayed for other people. He uses it as real substance. The prayers are not only to produce answers, but they are eternal living proof that somebody has called out to him, that somebody has reached out to him, that somebody here has reached out to an invisible God. And therefore, all of our prayers, how many prayers have we prayed in life that were prayers directly unto the Father? Those prayers are still living eternally. There are some that have been answered and manifest here, but the prayers are a living substance in heaven that he is going to take and mix together. And it is those prayers that are going to end up being part and party to the judgment of the earth. No prayers, no judgment. No prayers, no righteous judgment. Oh Lord, move upon my behalf that I might bring you glory. And he gives you something and it brings him glory and you get the benefit of it, yet it still keeps on lingering. And later on, because someone reached out to him in righteousness, it's going to be the judgment of the earth that's fought against you. Everything that you had to pray that caused prayer more than love, because love is going to give prayer, worship is going to be a prayer, but all those things that invoked you and provoked you to add to your prayers are going to get judged. Now, God will give you the answer and the glory to overcome everything and to have an answer over top of everything if you pray. Because when you pray and you doubt not and believe that you have received it, you will have it. All right? How many are praying, folks? I know you are. But I'm going to tell you there's even more power than what the enemy would try to make you think that your prayers are doing. That's why he wants to make it like God didn't hear you. He wants to make it like it's not working. He wants to make, but he understands the power of the eternal part. Because you are saved and you are a spiritual creature, when you speak forth, you're speaking forth the Father, not in English language that stops, but in an eternal language. Did you know that they believe that every word that has ever been spoken and vibrated this atmosphere, that if they have the proper receiver, that they'll begin to be able to hear every word that's been spoken of the past? That which is vibrated is still vibrating. That which has been spoken and hollered is still happening somewhere, and it's called an echo print. Where do they get that understanding? Sci-fi? No, that the eternal living prayers of God's people are forever in the presence of Almighty God. There's power when you say something. That's why your prayers and the things you speak have got to be more than what you speak negatively. Because the negative reverberates into all of God's creation and starts to bring about what God's kids are speaking in the earth. Because God gave us dominion power. Wherever that we have personally, we speak over ourselves. Together, we speak over those things that God has given corporately. And together, we can speak those things that even if they are not as though they are. And guess what? When God has promised it and we start speaking and declaring it, there can only be one outcome. Somebody give God a praise right there. So it said, the smoke of the incense went forth, and the angel filled the incense burner with the fire off the altar and threw it down upon the earth, and thunder crashed and lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. Turn to somebody and say, fire is one of God's responses. So one mega prophet prays. He didn't even have a whole church. Matter of fact, all the rest of them were hiding in caves. 7,000 of them didn't show up that day. So much that Elijah thought he was the only one. Where's all the church? God, I'm the only one. But when he prayed, less than 3.5 verses, God's answer by fire. How do you know that God's answering in a place? Because there's going to be Holy Ghost fire. How do you know that God's in a place? Because there's going to be fire in somebody's praise. There's going to be fire in somebody's love. There's going to be fire in somebody's life. How do you know when the enemy is present? There's too much coldness going on. Because snakes are cold-blooded. Woo! And what do they get evoked and evicted out of their place with? Fire. So they start a fire on the little island right over top of a snake den. And Paul goes and puts some more wood on it, and the viper jumps out and attaches onto him. And within moments, he should have been dead, but he shook it off back into the fire, and the very fire that evicted it out is the fire he put it back into to roast it. And they waited, and they watched at him and looked at Paul, and they said, surely he's going to die in a moment. He didn't die. He just kept on doing the things he's doing and kept on praying, kept on seeking God, kept on calm. And pretty soon they said, wait a minute, this guy might be a god because he's not dying from this venomous viper. And so it gave him a testimony. See, the stuff that won't kill you because you've got a path with God is the very things that you're going to use to testify all about the Lord. Don't make no sense why that battle should have lasted that long. But they're going to look at you and say, my God, what happened when you got through it? Yep, my God's what happened. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you that I held on. Let me tell you that I worked through everything and I held on to him. Hallelujah. Because at the altar, the fire that would come upon the altar of worship and sacrifice is supposed to come from God and be the answer by fire. He is the God that answers by fire. Go back to last week just a little bit. Fire represents God's presence, not ice, not coldness, not bitterness, fire. Fire is the passion for God. How many know when there's some passion in the relationship? Yeah, there's a little spark. They call it sparks. They call it a little bit of fire because there's passion in the relationship, right? Also, it is God's purity. Fire purifies, and it's fire purifies the work in us. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not scared of no fire. Matter of fact, we're children of the fire. The fire of his love and the Holy Ghost fire. I'm on fire with the Holy Ghost. And so anything that the enemy can bring, turn it up 7 times hotter. I like fire. See, if you don't like fire, it's probably because you think it's all about burning up you. Because you don't know you're fireproof. You're fireproof because you got something on you, because you got a relationship with God. When you got a relationship with God, you're fireproof. Matt, how do I know? Even Paul said, if your faith is out there right where it's supposed to be with God, said the fiery darts of the enemy can't even get through your fireproof faith. Hallelujah. So a lot of times all the battle is our lack of understanding and a lack of wisdom and a lack of an answer up here. That's what causes us some of the turmoil, a lack of having some answer up here. But once you got God's answer, you don't even need to think about it anymore. All you need to do is enact what God has said. And we're going to go through that in just a little bit. How many knows that also God's fire represents his love and his power, both and that his judgment and his punishment? How many know that when you use the fire of God and the word of God and you go forward, your enemies catch on fire? Oh, we were casting out a devil right here, right there, years ago, right there. A lady said, I've got to get to the church because that demon has said tonight it will have me. She got to up here to the church. It was just prophetess and I, and prophetess was praying, and I'm over here trying to cast that devil out of that thing, and the Holy Spirit said, call your wife over here. And I said, honey, come over here and lay the fire on. And all of a sudden that demon manifests itself. Not her, not her, not her! She's pure, she's pure, she's pure. And you know what prophetess did? I put the fire of God on you. And once she touched that lady's head, that demon started vibrating. Because the devil knows that fire of God is just, the fire of God we have is just a little bit of the fire and he's going to have forever. So when you get on fire, that's why the enemy don't get you right away. He waits till you cool down and have a flat tire. Then you start worried about how you're going to pay for the flat tire. And then pretty soon you're off focus and the enemy comes sneaking in. As long as you stay on fire, God's going to provide for this false tire. This tire is going to, if it has to inflate back up, I don't know what God's going to do. But God's going to provide. Things are going to happen. And I'm just going to keep my, I don't know, thank you, Jesus, for a flat tire. Glory to God, because pretty soon I'm going to have four brand new ones. And then he goes, okay, I got to wait till at least they sleep. So then you get up in the morning, you're stiff and got a headache. Don't feel like getting up. And then you say, okay, I'm going to see how you handle that. And if you handle it like it's lumpy, dumpty, grumpy day, the enemy says, here I come. But if you handle it like, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I got something. See, because I've looked in the mirror in the morning sometimes. I scared myself so bad, I had to ask the Lord to forgive me of a daymare in the mirror. Because it was a nightmare. My hair is sticking all up, and I'm like, first thing I see in the morning, I had to give God praise. I'm alive. Amen. And I can do something about this wild hair. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's taking charge, engaging your spirit overcomes the adversary. Praise the Lord. And so we learned last time, and this is real quick, and we're going to get to the rest of the stuff, seven fires of a true altar. I don't mind saying it the second time because many times we don't get it all the first time. And so folks that are not right now rehearsing it back to me haven't had enough time to watch the last time through. And I would, I'm going to say it the second time, but I prefer that you go back also and listen to Sunday morning. Because what prophetess gave to us on Sunday morning, hallelujah, there ain't no devil should be around on your Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week. Hallelujah, for what she gave to us about taking those limits completely out of our life. And if we believe it, hallelujah, it's underneath our feet. But here's the seven fires I'm going to go through real fast. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the fire of the Holy Spirit is a fire of God on a true altar. Number two, the fire of the love of God. Yes, is from the true altar. Number three, the fire of God's word to us. Why do we know? Because it's a light. It's a light. And what does fire provide? It provides light. Hallelujah. And he's a lamp unto our feet. Number four, the fire of holiness. Which is patterning. You have a lifestyle pattern that's after obedience to God and doing things God's way. Number five, the fire of worship and prayer. See, some people, they only get tears in worship. Tears is at the end of your emotions. You can laugh so hard you cry. You can be in so much pain, you cry. Somebody can tickle you so bad, you cry. You can be shocked so bad, you cry. Cry is the end of your emotions. But when your spirit man comes into the fullness, some firepower begins to show up. That's where the Lord has completely overcome you. And since at that point, the Spirit of God is not grieved and he's not crying, he's speaking through you to the things around you. And a certain power engagement of the Lord comes. And somebody said, a fiery prayer of the righteous availeth much. Number six, the fire of purity and power. That's from a true altar. And number seven, the fire of ministry is at a true altar. Amen? All right. Now, I got this, and this one is really good. I like this. This is from the book I'm reading. It says, without a proper altar, we cannot offer a proper sacrifice, and we cannot receive what God has for us. We would not be able to bring our bodies as a living sacrifice to glorify God. That's everything we have, all our gifts, our talents. Everything that God's given us is part of what we offer as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Without an altar, we couldn't glorify him with that. Without an altar, there is no place for sacrifice. And without a place for sacrifice, there is no holy fire of God. And without the holy fire of God, there is no manifest glory of God. Because in the glory, as you lead up to the glory, is always the fire. And then the glory of God. And there cannot be spiritual revival. He said this, the end result that without a true altar becomes lifeless and dead religion. And then I added, and the result with an altar and the response of holy fire of God is renewal, new season, and new path of hearing God's instructions. Amen. See, because Jesus said something. Miss Kim is going to begin the handout, and Brother Greg's going to be in the handout a worksheet tonight for you, and it starts right off of this verse. I want you to read it out loud while they're starting to hand these out to you. Let's read it together. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. Hallelujah. How many see that as we're looking at this, the Lord said, here in the earth is the Son of God and Son of Man. I cannot do anything that Father has not shown me. He has not shown me what is being done. So I'm going to give my Father what he wants. I'm going to see. Because he loves me, he's going to show me what he wants. And so then I'm going to do what he wants because he showed me. How did he show him? How did he show him? Spiritual witness and relationship. So there's times when we get visions and dreams. There's other times where we get unctions of the Spirit. Those unctions of the Spirit can also be checked to see, if you focus upon the unction and the word of God, will you see? Prophetess has told you before, those that have been here a while, that God many times shows her a video reel. Yes. And that video reel is how she prophesies. That goes to this verse, that God will show you what he is doing ahead of time and what he wants you to walk into to tell to the other person.
Apostle, also, when you hear the whisper of the Lord, such as if I was to say tonight, red shoe, you already have an image of what it is. You already see it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the Lord speaks to us with words, with the unction, such as bow down. Well, I don't have to tell you what it looks like. You already see it in your mind right now when I say bow down.
Mm-hmm.
You see what that looks like. So that's how we hear, and also you can see what you hear.
Exactly.
Or you can be visually stimulated without hearing, and all of a sudden you see.
It's witnessed in the spirit that way. Yes.
Yeah.
As it's his projection of what he's saying in visual form. And so what prophetess has said right here, if God gives you a word, it's already descriptive. I'm going to heal you. What does being healed look like? That's what he wants you to see. Because if you believe his word, I'm going to heal you, it's already done. You then will look to the end. Matter of fact, somebody asked me beforehand as to why we're going, I was explaining a little bit about this exercise we're going to do. I want to help you just a little bit. That one, that go before God with a petition, is that you're wanting to get his granting of speaking on that particular part. God, what is it that you want done? Here's what's happening. Here's what we need done. And we're asking for you to speak on this back. Because once he speaks, it will not return unto him void. It will get done what needs to be done. So we need the gavel of God to come down in our favor and him to say, so be it. I grant you that petition. That's petitionary prayer in the courtroom of God. That's boot camp from 2005 or 6. Praise the Lord. That prophetess took us through. So we understand this, that in the courtroom of God, we have the times that we present our case before him, we present our position, our petition and our request before God. Then there's something else that takes place, that he begins to show you something and begins to speak to you. Once it is coming from God that he is speaking and showing, there is no more petitioning about what he's already spoken. Okay? So, Brother Jeff, I'm going to give you a $100 bill. Do you have to come beg me and say, would you please give me a $100 bill? Say, well, even though you haven't received it yet, you're going to remind me that I told you that you were going to give me a $100 bill. Now, all that's left is the timing of it showing up and the transaction. So the real thing would be, okay, when is this going to happen and where do you want to meet? Because I already see myself getting that $100 bill. Now, if he goes around saying, Apostle's never going to give me a $100 bill. I just know it's never going to happen, even though Apostle said it. He's probably going to forget tomorrow. And it's never going to happen. It'll never happen, even though it's already happened. Why? Because he'll never be in the position for the transaction. Even though I'll be walking around with 100 trying to catch up to him.
Right, but what happens when he says, Apostle, thank you for that $100 that you're going to give me.
Yes.
And the next day, Apostle, I just so appreciate you thought of me and you're going to give me that $100. So sometimes when we know we have something from God, believe that you receive it, what we do from there, yes, keep asking, seeking, knocking. But that asking has, God, I know that I've got this. I know there's open doors. So God, I thank you for the open doors. I don't see them yet, but I thank you. I thank you, open doors are coming. I thank you, open doors are in front of me. I thank you, Lord. There's no proof. There's no evidence, but I thank you. And so that's how our prayer changes.
Yes, and thanks normally takes place before the gift or after the gift?
Usually after.
Somebody takes you out to dinner. After the dinner, you say thank you for the dinner. After the present, thank you for the present. After showing up for the thank you. So when you're saying thank you to the Lord of what he's already said he's going to do, you're already stating the thanks as if it's already happened in your life. And God is a good God, and he will speedily make it happen. Matter of fact, if anything's delayed and you've put enough thanksgiving on it, he will add to it. I said he'll add to it. If anything's delayed by other men, of something getting to you that he said he would get to you and you've been thanking him, he's going to charge interest and the world is going to have to give you more. At God's rates. At God's rates. So the Lord gives us a secret right here. He says, I tell you the truth. I'm not doing stuff by myself. I'm in a relationship with Father God and I only do what he is doing. What I see him doing. He's already doing it, so I follow his example. And so when I follow what he is doing there, here, it shows up here. Well, let's walk through that again. When I see what he's doing there, and I then follow what he's doing there, it shows up here. See the conduit that's open? Now, let me see it. Because we're always talking about what's here that needs to be changed. And if we take anything here before God and he changes it, and we start thanking God and proclaiming it and so on, it's got to then change here. because it changed there. Because prayers goes before an almighty God. What we have done, we've taken physical things, transformed them into the spiritual prayer. We've transformed them into spirit. And then when the Lord says, I'm going to heal, I'm going to do this, then it happens, and now it changes here. So healings, multiple healings, become easy because of the glory of God, and they're changing, things are changing here. So when she come forward, and Miriam brought her forward, immediately we start operating on the fact that the Lord is here. The Lord wants to heal. I lean into the Lord. I said, Lord, how do you want to do it? And prophetess starts hearing also, well, let's also get the ones that brought David Bataka up. And now when David was ministering there, so that it's not the exact same thing again, the Lord said, now I want both of you to breathe into her at the same time. I could have said, Lord, well, you know, Heather got healed when he breathed into it, and I've already breathed once, he's breathed once, why don't we have Heather come do it? No, he didn't call for that. Whoever and whatever he's calling for, do it that way. Just that simple. We both breathe, and prophet said, how will you know that she's healed? Because when she runs, she has, up until then, an asthma attack. And so the power of the Lord is on her, and all of a sudden I heard the Lord said, have her run. Take a run. Was I pretty confident by now after all these miracles of what was going to happen? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. On your first time is the only time you're having to cancel out debt, the doubt that just possibly something because you've never experienced before and you've got to whoop it. But after you've seen it happen and you just listen for the Lord, now you don't assume that God is going to do it the same way he did it before. You ask him how he wants to do it. Now notice the difference in, oh Lord, please heal this girl. Or, Father, how do you want to heal her? See the difference? That's something I've learned. That's not something that I'm saying is about me only. All of us, as soon as we have, so we don't have to go, I've got to go through this process of believing all over again. No, because that's canceling out all of the things that you've already known in God. The devil is a liar. I've seen blind eyes open. More blind eyes are going to be open. Seen the lame walk. More lame are going to walk. Get the first amputated arm out. Then more arms and legs are going to grow like crazy. They're going to sprout all over the place like bean sprouts. So how many got your first miracle? Reproduce it over and over again and believe in for other people. Don't wait till you have to have a second miracle for yourself. Reproduce it in somebody else. How many see that the Lord is engaging us so that our body right here, that he could send 150 people in here that need miracles, and y'all go lay hands on them, and every one of them leave with a miracle that same service? Because there's enough testimony power. Hallelujah. And Miss Kim, if you'd go ahead and clip that on up just a little bit, a couple degrees. The air did kick in because we breathed up the air in here. Praise the Lord. So we'll gear it up just a couple degrees, and that way we won't chill everybody out, freeze everybody out. And he said, notice in this verse, in fact, if I'm doing it, you, the Father said, in fact, the Father then will show you to how to do even. The Father would show the Lord, the Son of God, how to do even greater. This is a pattern. How many knows that the Son of God could do greater anytime he wanted to do greater? But he said, the Lord, the Father is going to show, this is a pattern for us, will show us, say this, if we do what God wants, give him what he wants, right? He will show us how to do even greater works and cause other people to be astonished. Astonished is the beginning of wonder, of awe, that God is present, that His glory is here. He's real. He's not just what they've been talking out here in the world and selling to us out of the educational system and everything else that's out here and on all of the Hollywood and everything else. No, what's happened now is there's something that's actually tangibly real that I cannot unexplain. It is undeniably, irresistibly, irrevocably God, and something's going to shake them at their core. And so all we do is keep doing what God said and keep going higher and greater and greater and greater until folks come in with the wheelchair and our greeters raise them up out of the wheelchair. They don't even get a chance to get down here to the altar. The blind eyes get opened by our ushers. So I'm going to show you to your seat. I can't see my seat. In the name of Jesus, blindness come off. We're going to show you to your seat. Hallelujah. Because it's not about being up here on the platform only. It's to everyone who believes. It's to every child of God. It is to every one of us to be equipped with this kind of faith and miracles and movement. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Somebody say, somebody's going to be astonished. And you know what happens? What happens is you don't no longer be astonished. You just get so filled with joy. When I went back and I said, how's this week been? She said, she's been on the trampoline jumping up and down without having to have her breather. I just started giggling and having a great time. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's fun. It's fun seeing people healed and saved and delivered and set free, and the demons have to run and sickness and disease go. It's fun. I get joy when I see what the Lord's doing. I just want to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah to the Lord. So here's if you're going to have some kind of checklist or recipe, here it is. Engage spiritually. Check in. Embrace God's presence. No matter whether it's a Wednesday night or Thursday ultimate worship or whether it's a Saturday get together or Sunday morning ain't the only time we're going to engage. We're going to engage, and if God does a 18-week revival every night, we're going to engage the Lord every single time. We're going to engage in the Lord, because once we engage God's presence, the power of God is there. Two, open our ears, Lord, to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, God's voice. Open my ears. What's the first thing that opens up by faith? Ears. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we engage in the Spirit with our praise, our thanks, our praise, our worship, and we say, Lord, help me hear what you once said. All right? Then we ask God, what do you want? What do you want to say to us? I don't want to hear somebody else's opinion. I want to hear what he has to say. And the question is, is he saying it out of revelation? Is he saying it out of instruction? Or is he saying it out of wisdom? Instruction is for us to do. It's the command. Wisdom is for later, for us to then have to the operation of something. Not just to do a simple command, but to actually operate something. Revelation is how God operates. When he reveals how he operates, it'll cause you to go, whoa. Because God's technology is higher than man's. Whew. God's technologies and strategies are higher than man's. So we just have to ask, is it a revelation? That means something I did not know before that God is revealing about how he operates and who he is. Wisdom is equipping us in the understanding of how to do things, and the instruction is to get it done. Number four is focus your spirit and faith to see it. Once God starts to say something, notice that the Lord said, what he shows me. So I'm going to focus my spirit. Lord, this is what happened to me back in 2020. The Lord said to me, I want to heal David Batak on Sunday. I then asked him, how do you want to do it? I knew it requires some prayer and things. There were some things I didn't even know yet, but I asked him, how do you want to do it? The Spirit of the Lord speaks to me and says, do not let the praise and worship end. He wanted the worship. He wanted the worship. He wanted what? The worship. People are getting prayed for. What does he want out here in the congregation? worship. What does the preacher sometimes say when the people are sitting down because they got theirs? Where's your worship? Where's your worship? While others are still being prayed for. Why? Because we're never supposed to be spectators. We're supposed to always be engaged in the Spirit of God. Because if we can maintain our worship, miracles will break out whether it's for us or for others. And how many knows we're going to have joy whether it's for us or whether it's for others? Because if we have joy in somebody else's miracle, it makes us next. I'm all saying that when we have joy in someone else's miracle, it makes us next. Hallelujah. And so when we begin to do these things, God is aligning us, because when the glory hub is wide open, not only do we have to know how to guard it, part of the guarding of it is worship. The worship of the people should be so real unto God for anything that he's done. So thankful that he touched you at the altar. So thankful that something's happening that they don't even have to play another note on a keyboard. The praise comes up out of you. It doesn't shut down. You don't go into worry mode, start thinking about work tomorrow, start thinking about all these other stuff. You don't check out. You stay checked in. And the more you stay checked in the flow of the Holy Spirit, because the longer you flow, the deeper it goes. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, yes. Yes, I receive this teaching in the name of Jesus. I tell my flesh I'm going to stay engaged. Hallelujah. And then once that we begin to see it, how many have seen things we've asked before? And we said, how many are seeing something? See, that should be every service we should be seeing. Now, it's not that we're seeing something in heaven all the time. It's not that we're seeing angels all the time. Do we see what God's doing? Do we see what God's doing? That all of a sudden, just about time, that 45 people are up here at the altar. As you're coming up, and especially our ushers and our altar workers, we train them that they should be doing this. You should be able to see in the Spirit whether I have always started on this side or not. Doesn't matter. You should see in the Spirit where I'm going to be and who I'm going to come to. Because there's times the Lord has had me and boom, and people need to be right there. And they should already be knowing the Spirit of God is heavy on somebody and sensing this. This is what we're going to need. I said, it's what we're going to need. To know where the Holy Spirit is at and who he's on. Matter of fact, it's so strong that if I pick the wrong person to pray for first, we're going to have to worship for the next 10, 15 minutes because I just disobeyed God. I had it happen in meetings. The anointing shut down because I didn't pray for the one the Lord was on. I decided I'd pray for someone else. It was disobedience. I prayed for the easier one, Brother Jeff. Lord, send me over here to pray for the one who needs a miracle. I go over there for the one who just needs a little encouragement. And the Lord says, nope. And he ain't going to keep moving in disobedience. That's grieving me, Lord. And so all of a sudden I had to ask the Lord to please forgive me and go back. My wife had to play an extra 10, 15 minutes, wear out her talent on the keyboard, getting folks to praise. One time on the evangelistic field, Sister Whitney, I preached a whole message disobeying God. He lit on somebody. But I thought, I need to do that after I preach. No, when he lit up somebody, get down there. I learned that lesson. Go to the next revival. Go over here to Rogersville. Over here to Rogersville. And the power of God is moving while we're just coming up. They just handed it over to the McClintocks. And I come up and the Lord starts lighting on three people. I don't even preach. I just go start laying hands on people and prophesying to the ones I preach later. Why? Because whatever he's doing, that's what we do. We don't do our protocol just to do our protocol. Now, if he's already led us to, and he's given songs ahead of time, and he's given ministry ahead of time, but he still has the right to interrupt and do anything he wants to do. I told the Lord, I will never be in competition with you. I do not have to preach unless you want me to. You want to do miracles, and I'm in the way, slay me, knock me out of the way so the people of God can still have something. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got something, or did I go already by it?
Well, no. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Is Matthew 13 and 15.
Woo, glory to God.
For this people's heart has become callous. So that's one of the things that we have to be aware as Christians.
Got to guard against
that. Our heart does not become callous, or we become so familiar with the move of God that we, you know, we're stiff-necked, or we have a certain idea of what it looks like. And it says, when the heart has become callous, they hardly hear with their ears, and they close their eyes. He says, otherwise, you would see with your eyes, you would hear with your ears, and understand with your hearts. And then he said, you know, then I would turn and I would heal them. But it does say that God has created our ears, our spiritual ears. He has given spiritual ears.
Yes.
And spiritual eyes.
These are part of our spiritual senses.
He that hath an ear to
yep.
hear, let him hear. And I think that's the posture we have to sync with. That's why it's important to check in. When I'm checking in every day with God, that is a heart check. And that is a sensitivity check. He says their heart has become, their ears have become dull of mm-hmm. hearing. What does that mean? Dull means that your ears became insensitive.
Insensitive, yes.
Or incapable of responding quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be on guard that your ear doesn't become dull so that you can hear and you can see what he's saying.
Exactly. Because notice that there, hear, see, say, do. So if you can't hear, faith cannot be engaged. You have to be hearing so that you can see. Because your hearing and seeing it in the Spirit enables you to be able to
say it.
Because if you try to say something you don't see,
that's it right there.
Disbelief will start to come in. Because you're not matching.
That's right. The authority comes from heaven
mm-hmm.
to us to declare, to decree. I mean, he's given us the keys.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be using the right key at the right time.
So I'm so proud of all the folks and all the ladies I know that did the dream boards last night. Prophetess was up till 2 o'clock in the morning finishing up hers, because she got to do it right. She had to find the right pictures.
Oh, it was
pictures.
So much fun.
She had to find the right things to go with.
It's
spectacular. I looked at it and go, my, this is from heaven right here. Look at this. Praise the Lord, because it wasn't thrown. It was precise and purposed. It was pulled out of the spirit realm and then placed in certain areas, and she got a little frustrated that one of the pictures was just a little bit bigger than any space she had left. So, may have to shrink the picture just a little bit and put it in there, but we're going to get it in there. Praise the Lord. Why did I say that? Is because once she was seeing, all of the prophecies that she's heard that God said started turning into pictures on that picture board. And if you can then see what God is saying, you can speak to it and call it. Because if you cannot believe that it's there, you cannot speak to it. I cannot speak to a wife that's not there. So if the Lord says speak and call your wife even though you're not married, you got to believe that she's there. I cannot speak to $1 million that I don't believe or can't see that's there. I know what God said. And so I've got to call for things. I didn't even have to. Folks, he's already there. I'm not calling to $1 million because he didn't tell me $1 million.
Right.
He stopped me on the staircase at Calvary Temple, Alton, on our revival, coming back home revival. And he hit me, and he said, $100,000. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is back when $100,000, even more than $100,000 today. And I said, hallelujah, you're going to give me $100,000. He said, no, that's your part. Under that incredible anointing froze, I got upset with the Lord and smarted off at him.
And you have to understand, that's in a season where both of our incomes together was only $225 a week, plus piano lessons on the side.
Well, and we had just started out on the evangelistic field.
That was crazy.
So $400 a week on the evangelistic field was awesome. I said, Lord, what do you mean $100,000? My part. I just smart enough said, well, what's yours?
Yeah.
It was the right question, wrong attitude. But remember, so what do you see you doing, Lord? What is your part in this covenant? And he said, for what I have called you to do, it needs to be $100 million released to you. And I want you to give $100,000 above your tithe, and then I'll start to release the $100 million. We're at the $100,000 collectively overall. We're at the $100,000. So I don't call for a million. He got on to me in prayer. So are you calling to it? You walked right down there in Branson in front of that big picture of all that stack of money, which is exactly $100 million on a pallet. Are you calling to it? I've already showed it to you. And it wasn't until the dream board, look at the dream board, I told my wife, she goes, what would be on your dream board? I said, probably a whole section would be a big, gigantic pile of money. And the Lord said, the $100 million. You've called it sporadically. Why are you not calling it more often? Because if you believe it's there,
yep,
you will call for it to show up. Yep. I don't need to go find it. I already found it when he spoke it. It's already mine. It's got my name on it. It has to be delivered. So it's just how do you want me to get it? How do you want it to be transported to it? How do you want it to be transferred? The reason why I haven't spoke this over years is because folks weren't even ready for it. Oh, my God, all he's about is money. All he wants is $100 million. My God! But I think people are ready now to receive that we can call to the things God said.
Yes. And this is where you cannot be in faith and in doubt at the same time.
Exactly.
It's impossible to do that. You have to get the doubt out. It's the enemy's job to unconvince you that you are able to have what God has said you have permission to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to keep seeing what God has said no matter what. And it's my responsibility to stay in faith.
Yes.
And to keep that thing on the altar. That's why I speak to my seed, the $1,000 seed sowed at James Payne. I speak to that thing every week. My question tonight, are you speaking to your seed? Are you keeping the anointing on the altar of that $1,000 pledge? What did you fill out on your envelope when you made those pledges? Are you speaking to it? Are you saying, I command you to come? You have to obey this mouth.
Exactly.
Because I'm in sync with the heavens. It's God's law.
And prophetess, the Lord just reminded me, and there's a verse on this. It's the tenacity of Jacob. An angel standing there, captain of the host. And he said, he grabbed and wrestled with him. And the angel said, who are you? I'm Jacob. From now on, you're going to be named Israel. And he kept on holding on the angel. The angel said, let me go. Not until you bless me. You renamed me, but I need my blessing. How can a man hold a spiritual being and the spiritual being not be able to get away? Faith held him and he declared, not until you bless me. And the angel blessed him so much, it was more than he could walk with. He smote him in the hip. The hip is where you put your hand underneath the Father to receive the inheritance blessing. And they would place their hand on your head and you would be blessed. And he smote him in the hip with the blessing. And still yet he didn't understand what the Lord had given him. But here's the point that the Lord just gave to me. If you can hold on to the promise of God and say, you got to bless me, I'm not letting you go. I'm not forgetting about you on Monday. I'm not forgetting about you on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, come fire and glory. I still got you on my mind. The day after fire and glory, I ain't letting it go. I'll have it all through the summer. I'll have it here, case in point. God says double, and we started speaking double. We started believing double. And what started showing up? And what started showing up? Double. So the Lord gives it over to us, and the first fire and glory, you get $500, and then $500 laid right on top of you. We get double twins. We get double this. We get folks that get double increases, double raises, double all over, double. Why? And so just because of them, but we're still in double Adar and we're in the double 2022. I said, well, there's a couple things that ain't showed up. And the Lord said, did you call it to you? You've been calling it for everybody else, but did you call that enough to you? And prophetess always tells me, because she's always operated this. You know how Lolita's here? She called for like 6 months in prayer.
Really, it was about 2 years.
Oh, 2 years in prayer till God showed her It was a person fifth in the rotation at a large church that was saying, "There's my God, there's got to be more than this." Lolita didn't even want to come here. She was hoping that Jason wouldn't even like it here. So she could, this is that crazy church I saw on TV. She tried to get out one time and hit the door that was locked. Oh, my God, they locked me in. She tried to get out of here. And Jason come in and fell in love with it, and she stayed. And all of a sudden it hit because she starts getting it. I was fifth in the rotation at Central Assembly at a large place. And I was saying, my God, there's got to be more than this. Exactly what God showed Prophetess. But Prophetess had to hold on to it and speak it and speak it and speak it. Why? Because when God gives you something, he's always working on the other side.
And Apostle, if I could say this, there was a key in that that caused a breakthrough. That even though I knew there was a need, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I knew it was God's will. But then number three, I had to pray long enough and stay in the birthing process of that thing to hear the next golden key to call with my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't just call anything. You know, I just want, you know, a keyboardist and God, I just want a break. And that would have been so shallow and it would have been, no, he told me exactly what to call to be specific. I want someone I don't have to train. I want someone they got to know how to play by ear. God, I thank you for someone that is going to sound professional and their skill is going to be way far beyond my own. Mm-hmm. See? And then it was after that God gave me the next specific thing to pray and showed me, God, to that one that is waiting in a lineup and saying, God, surely there's more to this than this.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, I'll never forget when I prayed that, because I literally, I felt a heart connection with her, and I stood at that wall, and I began pulling, just pulling, and pulling her my direction. And it wasn't long that we had our breakthrough. So I'm just telling you, you got to be sensitive. You got to plug in to what's going on up there. Not just in our mind, and this is what I want, blah, blah, blah. Get in sync.
Because every one of us is an answer to prayer and an answer to someone else's prayer. I would tell you that every hearing the shofar and then be delayed. Do you and Natasha talk?
We never did before.
How is it that y'all got jobs that started almost on the same day, and then you got here on the final weekend of the promise, and that you moved from different states, and two got here, because two is double. At our back to school, the first time we ever had haircutting, we had two haircutters. If you keep speaking to the word that's eternal, it's going to keep showing up. It's going to keep showing up. And so Sunday morning, the Lord told us, the Lord spoke to me to start asking people to pray for a testimony. They are the you are the testimony that 10 others can come in. 10 others can come in. And then after we prayed, we started pulling on the nets. Why do I know this to be true? Not only what Prophetess said, but years ago when I was in Poplar Bluff, there was a drunk man came in. We prayed for him. He wanted to go, and the Holy Spirit said, reel him back in. And so I went, just like a fisherman, and I started reeling, and the door opened up. And he started coming in backwards. The drunk guy is coming. And I'm just doing this, and he's right back to the altar, prayed for him again. And he said, no, I want to do it my way, not God's way. And he headed out the door. The Lord said, do it again. I went, and the door opens back up. And it's not us opening the door. The door opens back up, and he comes walking back, and he's trying to grab the door. Because God had a hold of him. Folks, I'm telling you that when God tells you to do something, you're going to see supernatural things that is beyond the imagination and boggle the mind. The clues in my younger years, I didn't have somebody teach me all of that stuff.
Oh, no.
The Holy Spirit says it, and we do it, and then I didn't grasp that those are the concepts you're supposed to always move in. until now, until this last few years. Just be crazy enough to believe for anything. Number one, prepare to receive the manifestation. I'm down here. Do whatever he says. Prepare to receive the manifestation and the fulfillment of God's word. Prepare for it. Know that there's only one outcome. Prepare for it. And then write down, document, write down. Providence said if it comes from God, it's worthy of documentation. Write down what God said and what he showed you and date it. Because that becomes part of your testimony, not only something meant for you to do. So as you walk in the glory and walk in praising, I had to document in my journal about what he spoke on Sunday morning because I don't want it to leave. I documented about double. I documented about the things. I want to document the things that he's doing because I don't want them to leave, because I don't want it to be disrespectful. I want to honor him enough in grabbing it. Now I want to ask it, Lord, did you show me something in Revelation? Yes, he did. He said, just like them, do it exactly the way I tell you. Here's what you do first. Here's what you do second. Here's what you do third. But you always ask me if I want to do it different. Instructions is, what do I do next, Lord? What do you want me to do next? What do you want me to do next? It might not be man's wisdom. You might end up doing something the Holy Spirit just showed you to do. It might be a clip. The Lord just shows you something and it doesn't even make sense, but you go ahead and make the clip and somebody's life. Did you know that on one particular digital thing that a prophetess can track some of her music? And so whoever has played some of the music, so she's, oh, somebody has played I'm Healed, has attached I'm Healed to their video. It's a lady who's sick. It's a lady who's sick, and she's playing I'm Healed and TikToking herself I'm Healed. She's in her sick bed, and she is playing, and she documents it on video. This is not somebody mocking. This is somebody, and she looks into the camera that, look, I'm going to receive my healing. I went, if the Lord can use some of these things we have right here and get them out to people, he's going to get people healed that we never prayed for. People are going to have blind eyes opened up we never laid hands on. We're going to have people get saved, and they're going to say, because of something that you did, something that I saw, something way that you ministered to me, some word that you spoke, that particular thing just rang over and over in my spirit, and I decided to give my heart and life to the Lord. And so when those things happen, everything, God, just reach up your hand and say, Lord, use everything. Just make sure that if you want me to go to Walmart at an off time that I get there, that if you want me to go over here, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I just want to give you what you want, Lord. If you say, call this person today, I'm going to do it. Even though I may not have heard from him in a long time, I'm going to reach out to him. I'm going to call him. I'm going to message them. Hallelujah. You don't know how old, you don't know how many times that the Lord has dropped a minister in my spirit or someone in my spirit, and I just, whether I was traveling or doing something else, and I got on there and I spoke to them, whether I left a message or left a text, and they would say, you don't know it, but we were right in the middle of praying over this, and you just spoke the very word at the very time. My phone goes ding, vibrates right as we're praying. I look at it. Well, folks are speaking out. I look at it, and there it is, that you are saying the same thing that God wants done. Do you know that anytime God drops something in your spirit, it's a right now time. It's a right now. He wants to move it right now. Would you stand to your feet? The Lord wants to make us unstoppable in all that we have. I want you to get this last thing while we're praying. James 5 and 16, in all of the transitions, to all the translations together, it says the heartfelt, sincere, and fervent, fiery, intense, persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and it has tremendous power. Somebody say, my prayers have power. I release them in the name of Jesus. I release them to make what God said in the earth. Because when I speak in agreement with what the Lord said, it's got to show up as he said it. I will speak it in fiery, intense, sincere prayer from the depths of my spirit. I engage and I believe Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to your people and calling out those things which you would want us to do. Because, Lord, we say, Lord, have your way. That, Lord, we want everything that you want. After all, this is your kingdom and this is your church, Lord Jesus. And this is your body of believers. And I thank you, Lord, that every blessing that you want, every person saved that you want, every deliverance you want, every healing you want, every miracle you want, every type of financial blessing you want, everything that you want done, that, Lord, we our ears be open to hear, our eyes be open to see it in the spirit, that we may see the finished end, and, Lord, that we may call to it and we'll speak to it just like you said it would be. We speak it to happen. We speak that there will be buildings. We speak, Lord, that exactly every prophecy that you said would happen, that people would be slain in the foyer because they couldn't even get into the presence of God, that another time the doors would be shut and there was so much prayer that people would be lined up and there would be a traffic jam all the way out on Moore Road trying to get into the presence of God. Father, we speak and we bring back to you those things that you have prophesied over us, those things that you have said would come to pass. Lord, we don't wait for you to do it. You're waiting on us to agree. You're waiting on us to speak, come. So we say to every prophetic thing that has ever been spoken, we command you to come in the name of Jesus. Every person that come from the multiple nations, come in the name of Jesus. The shofar has sounded. The gathering has begun. Come from the north. Come from the south. Come from the east. Come from the west. Hallelujah. Health comes to our people. They're going to be able to shout and praise God and dance. Hallelujah. Without pain. Hallelujah. Without suffering. I command right now, debt-free living come in the name of Jesus. Every debt be wiped out. Every educational debt. Everything that is a burden. Everything that is a load. Be wiped out in the name of Jesus. Paid in full. Shout it. Paid in full. Shout it. Paid in full. Now shout like you're walking in debt-free living. In more than enough. In abundance. What about shout like there ain't no pain in your body. Shout like there is no disease can touch you. Shout like you're just walking into that next thing that God promised you. Whether it be a business, whether it be a book, whether it be some play or drama or thing that you're putting, whatever it is, walk into it. Walk into it. Take the next 60 seconds and see what God has said and walk into it. Call to it. Say, you're coming to me. You're coming to me. You're coming to me. I go to God, you come to me. I go to God, you come to me. I go to God, you come to me. Seal it in the spirit. Pray in tongues and seal it in the spirit. We had our double come through from the shofar. Monica is here. Natasha is here. In the town. Sunday we're going to celebrate. Hallelujah. That they heard the voice of the Lord. And now that God had to do a whole lot of stuff to get them here. And now this is the beginning. More are coming. Shout, more are coming. More are coming. They're not moving for just a job. They're moving because of the Spirit of God. They're not moving for the educational system. They're moving for the glory of God. They're not moving because they think Springfield is a good fishing town or Bass Pro. They're moving because of the call of God. We command you to come, 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 in the name of Jesus. To be equipped, to be full, to be overflowing. That one day, no matter how many miracles need to take place, every believer that has been here will turn and will prophesy and lay hands and command the deaf to hear and the blind to see and the lame to walk. And it shall occur and it shall happen in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout about it and give God glory. And if something doesn't come when you call it, you keep saying, you got to come. And if it tries to wrestle with you, you just say, you're coming no matter what. Get over here. You get aggressive with it. Tell it, you're my, get over here, my authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give God praise one more time. Miss Alina's coming with our announcements, our anointed announcements. Praise the Lord.
Everybody, Fire and Glory registrations are open, and so I just want to tell you just briefly about that. I have a paperwork out in the front foyer that is available for you to explain the different packages that we have available only for Eagle Heights Worship Center members. So when you are ready to register, again, there's a detailed sheet that explains it all, whether you want to just purchase individual luncheons or whether you want to do a full package. It's better for you to do the package deals. And again, it's all explained out there in the front foyer. The only key for all of our members is to get the special pricing. You need to also sign up on the volunteer sheets for Fire and Glory. So if you have to fill in your name somewhere that you are going to participate and volunteer, whether that's tear down, set up, haul things in, that there's so many spaces for everyone to volunteer. So that's pretty much going on, and we're starting that tonight. So if you want to take a look what all is involved in the registration, just see me to do that, and we'll take care of you.
Woo, so excited for that, yes. And then this Sunday at 10 a.m. is corporate prayer, and that's every Sunday at 10 a.m. And then 11 a.m., Pastor David will be preaching. Woo-woo! Pretty excited to see what God has for us that Sunday morning. And then that Sunday night, 6 p.m., Apostle Don will be preaching. Super excited for Sunday nights. They've been so awesome. And then we do have the Easter Basket fundraiser that's happening right now. If you would like to purchase yours, see Minister April Liddell to sign up today to order yours. You can do specialized, customized Easter baskets. It's going to be super amazing. I believe that's it. God's blessing go with you. You are dismissed.